If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? How does 5-2 feel? The 49ers go out and just dominate the game and beat the Falcons 20-10. Now, 20-10 does not sound like your ever-loving like beatdown, but the 49ers were in complete control of this game. Complete control of this game. The only time that the Falcons really even got like their true touchdown was, you know, off of one of the interceptions, whatever else. Like it just was, this game felt like I was watching the 2019 49ers. The Atlanta Falcons are the number one rushing offense in the NFL. They had 62 yards rushing. They averaged 3.1 yards per carry. The number one team. The number one team in the NFL running the ball. They got Bijan Robinson, who's on pace to break the all-time record for rush yards and blah, 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 whatever. I'm telling you right now, this felt like it was 2019. The 49ers ran the ball. The 49ers had so much pass rush the entire day. I don't even know. Let me refresh this just so we can get the final ESPN still updating their numbers. But, man, you were all over. You had five quarterback hits. You had two sacks. You had strip fumbles. They couldn't run the ball. You were running the ball with ease. Christian McCaffrey, you had 174 yards rushing. The 49ers had 174 yards rushing. Run the ball down their damn throats, and there was nothing that they could do about it. Ah, how sweet it is to be 5-2. And just when you thought, like last week, that was rough. The game didn't go well, whatever else. You get Kittle back, right? And what a difference Kittle makes. Now, I don't even think he didn't even show up at the stat sheet. He had two targets, no catches. I think it was one of his, I think it's first game without a catch. But the difference, the impact he made blocking was huge. And not only blocking in the pass game, too. You saw this on one of the biggest plays down in the fourth quarter where it was like 3rd and 13. You got the Christian McCaffrey first down. Dude, I talked about this on John and Wayne show. It's like, you're going to put 55 in a blender. He's the coverage guy that you want to attack. And man, they had CMC on one seam. They had George Kittle on the other seam. 55 is in between. His head was spinning. He drifts towards Kittle. Mac replaces the ball to Christian McCaffrey on the backside. Game over. The game was over at that point. What an incredible game. So this is a celebration. It's a celebration, bitches. All right, I gotta do this. This is happening right here. I got my Modelo here. They don't sponsor the show. They probably should. I'm drinking out of a can. I was raised in a trailer park. It's who I am. The taste of victory is sweet. Man, that's delicious. That's really, really good. And so we're going to be going over players of the game. I was creating like different awards. Next man up awards, because that's what this 49ers team is. Next man up awards. And there are multiple. I want to go over a lot of the coaching decisions, because positive and negative, offense, defense, special teams, Eddie P, like there is so much to get to. So buckle up, because we are going to celebrate and we are going to have a great time, because the 49ers are 5-2 after this 20-10 victory. Ah. And the way you won, the 49ers have won games. You were 4-2. This game felt different. It felt different. It felt clean. It felt imposing. You know what I mean? Like, There's wins, and then there's wins. This is a win. You know what I mean? You controlled start to finish. Win. Oh. Flynn, thank you for the super chat, my man. He says, if you would have told me that we would lose Warner, Bosa, Kittle, Purdy, Pearsall, et cetera, in the first 7 weeks and still be 5-2, I tell you to call your psychiatrist, which for some people, I'm the 49ers psychiatrist. I appreciate it. We're here for you. Flynn goes on, freaking insane, still number one in the NFC West, baby. And not only that, with this win, now you're in the toughest division in the NFL. You have two teams that are 5-2, us and the Rams. Seattle plays tomorrow. They're 4-2. The Cardinals lost. They're 2-5. They're basically done. Two of the most like heartbreaking losses, whatever. But now the 49ers, you're 5-1 in the division. So any tiebreaker you have with the NFC team, like, you're going to control. The only other one-loss teams in the conference, the Eagles are 4-1. The Packers are 3-0-1. They have the tie. And then Tampa Bay is 3-1. They beat you the head-to-head, so that's not even going to matter. They got you there. But the way the 49ers have the tiebreaker over everybody in the division, the way the 49ers will have the tiebreaker over everybody in the conference, because you don't play the Eagles, you don't play the Packers. Now, that's assuming the conference record continues to go, but whenever you look at divisional tiebreakers, conference tiebreakers, the 49ers just have all of the trump cards. Now, that's assuming you have the same record. Obviously, you have to keep winning the games. That's there. But you're 5-2. 10 wins with this divisional record and with this conference record, 10 wins will get you into the playoffs. I'd be willing to bet the farm. If the 49ers get to 10 wins with a 3-0 divisional record and a 5-1 conference record, you have five. I don't even give a damn what wins those are. But if you get to 10-7 with these tie breaks, you're in. So the magic number is 5. The magic number is 5. Obviously, you're trying to win the division. You're trying to get the one seed. All those things are in play. But yeah, with these injuries, and that's why I want to talk next man up awards, because good Lord. And somebody say Matt Hennessy. Somebody say Matt Hennessy. Anybody? Right here, my man Darren 808. Appreciate you, brother. Miss you, man. Miss you and Jen. Hope you guys are doing well. He says, Hennessy shots for everyone, baby. Let's go. Hashtag CC, we got a new center. Now, let me say this. All injuries are bad injuries, and I feel for Jake Brindle and his family, and I hope he's okay. I saw the play. He got up and immediately looked to the sideline and started patting his helmet. Jake Brindle's the ultimate Iron Man. He's the ultimate teammate. Everybody loves him. That's what it is. Like, I hate that he is injured. And I also hate how quick they said he was out with the hamstring. Like, they rule it that quick. That is a pull. That is a George Kittle. That is a pulled hamstring. You're out a month. I'm just telling you right now. He's out a month. Now, we're allowed to say injuries are bad. Injuries are bad. I'm not happy that he is injured. Not happy. But the 49ers got better. Let's be real. Did y'all see number 61 out there, baby? Did y'all see him pushing the pile? Did you see Christian McCaffrey get stopped 3 yards before the end zone? And does everybody stop? Do you go back and reorganize the huddle? Do you just watch to see everybody else play? Do you stand in front of the official as the all-time watcher? No, 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 says 6-1. Matt Hennessy says, I'm going to push this motherfucker in the end zone. And I ain't going to stop till they do. Now, it wasn't just him, but when was the last time we saw that? He goes out there and just bulldozes everybody. Now, Dominique Pooney's pulling, which was a penalty. Connor Colby's pushing, which is huge. But, oh my gosh, you have an injury to the center position, and all of a sudden the interior offensive line galvanizes? Weird. Best game from Connor Colby so far this year. That dude's bringing down interceptions and getting 4+ yards so you can kick a field goal. You've got Dominique Pooney at a bad first quarter, swap at center. All of a sudden, Dominique Pooney starts making more plays, still had a lot of negatives. But now that you're starting to get push up front, and the issue was Matt Hennessy has never been the pass protector. He's always been the run game guy, but he hasn't been the pass protector. That's where Brindle like just held it in spades. But guess what? He was better at pass protection. And he made both guys next to him substantially better. Imagine this. Imagine the opportunities are endless with number 61, Matt Hennessy. I take a drink for you, my friend. I take a drink for you. Unbelievable. Oh, we're going to be talking. I can't wait. And I'm sure the film is not going to be as good as we all feel. But, oh, man, Matt Hennessy. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate you. Tommy, my man. He says, we punked the Falcons. Oh, Falcons. I see what you did there, Tommy. The pun hits home, baby. My cousin, he's a Falcons fan, and we were texting before. We had a little wager. We'll see if they're going to sleep. They're East Coast. But, yeah, man, I don't like the Falcons. I really, really don't. I used to be in our division. Don't like them. I like their logo, but I like their uniforms. But, no, screw them. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate you. Niners Nation. What do you think about Luter and Lucas maybe getting more looks? Bethan looked amazing. Matt Hennessy, thank you, bro. Yes. Here are my next man up awards. I got four of them. Darrell Luter Jr., man. Renardo, like, the Falcons game plan was very simple. We're attacking Renardo Green and the safeties. That's just what we're going to do. They did not test Diamador Lenore until the game was over. That last like 2 minute drill or whatever you want to call it. It was attack the right defensive right cornerback and the safeties. That's what they were doing. Shoot, Darrell Luter Jr. And this was always his thing. That dude is physical, physical, physical. My favorite play of maybe the game. They split out Bijan Robinson in an empty set. Usually you put a linebacker out there, but Bijan's different. So we keep our corner on there and he runs a slant route and Darrell Luter just punked his ass and just jammed his ass into the ground. Like you got 5 yards. He didn't hold him. He didn't grab him. The ball went in the air. He just bench pressed him. And Bijan, who's built like a tank, just got freaking like, that was it. Like Darrell Luter Jr. His calling card has always been physicality and length. You see him next to the other corners and it's like, ooh, this guy, he built different. The problem, space and coverage. Not today. Not today. And whenever he did give up space, a couple completions his way, but they kept testing him. Michael Penix missed, drop pass. Like, dude, Darrell Luter Jr., salute to you. I've been one of your biggest critics because you're just so bad in training camp and preseason. Dude's got two opportunities to play, and you have not lost a game because of him. You lost one of the other games, but it wasn't the Jags game, but that wasn't because of him. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Darrell Luter Jr. played well, very well. Chase Lucas, fourth down. Drake London, psh, who cares? Out route? Yeah, jumped it, almost had a pick. But Chase Lucas, like, how do you not love Chase Lucas? All he does is play with 1,000% passion on every single play, hype up his teammates nonstop, just like this pure, unfiltered passion. Like, this dude's been an NFL practice squad journeyman and just balled out. They wanted to cut him. I'm telling you right now, he was not going to make this roster, but he was the player of the preseason. And so they barely kept him on the roster and he just kept getting chances. I do not have a problem starting Chase Lucas moving forward. Upton Stout's awesome and his future is bright, but he's dealing with injuries, all these things. He has been a little bit of issue and busted coverages, whatever. Like, man, let's allow this to be a meritocracy. Upton Stout's going to be a 49er for a long time. He's going to start a lot of games. Let him heal up. That's been the prescription of 2025. Dude, Mac Jones balling out. Let Brock heal up. Let him heal, right? Jake Todgis balling out. Let's let Kittle, like, he'll get right. Why don't we do the same thing for Chase Lucas? Man, dude, that dude is Energizer freaking bunny. Are you kidding me? Oh, and Tatum Bethune, I did not put in my next man up awards. I put him in player of the game awards. This dude goes out there. Tatum Bethune led the team in sacks, 10 total tackles, 4 solo, 1 tackle for loss. Coverage was good. Now, it wasn't perfect, and he missed a lot of run fits in the screen game that led to first downs. But, dude, whenever he shows up. And everybody feels it. Him and Malik Mustafa, Tatum Bethune and Malik Mustafa out there trying to kill people. They playing for souls. You know what I mean? They out there just trying to get guys. I love it. Phil, my man, appreciate you, buddy. He says, I saw 3 plays where Zebras called completions where the Falcons receiver clearly dropped or trapped the ball. Yeah, the idea of what a catch is in the NFL is definitely under attack, and they keep trying to change and add more language to clarify what is and what isn't. And it's just getting lost in the sauce and it's getting worse and worse. There never really was a time where I was like, dude, I challenge this. There were a lot like, man, they called it that. So it's probably going to stay that. Like, you have to have that clear, you know, whatever. And there were no major big plays that were game changing moments. But yeah, you are correct, Phil. And this is all across the NFL. You watch the Vikings game or whatever. Like, this is not a 49ers issue. This is an NFL officiating issue. And I think it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. Just what it is. Colin, thanks for the super chat. He says, is it just me or did the run game get instantly better with Brindlewood? Now, the run game looked badass from the start. It did get more physical after Brindlewood went out. I thought Brindle was playing a pretty clean game for the most part. My notes, here's what I said on Brindle, just whatever. Gave up a sack on the very first play, so maybe not that good. That was on Pooney. I'm under the wrong one. Destroyed up the middle for a quarterback hit early. And you had Dominic Pooney gave up a sack on the first play. Brindle gave up a quarterback hit. Connor Colby gave up a quarterback hit. Then Brindle goes out. All of a sudden, pass protection, how many quarterback hits did they get? They got 4. So Jake Brindle went out, I think, early in the second. That's 1 more quarterback hit they got all game. So three quarterback hits while Jake Brendel was in the game. One quarterback hit whenever he went out. Obviously, it's not all on Jake Brendel. But the whole idea, Chris Forster, I'm talking to you, Chris Forster, continuity and whatever else, oh, pass protection, whatever else, out the fucking window, man. The proof is in the pudding. Mac Jones was healthy. Now, Matt Hennessy got blown up on a pass play later in the game, but he held his own for like a count, two counts, got blown up. Not good. I mean, terrible. But that's the play Mac Jones scrambled out the left B gap for like a gain of like six or seven. And so he was gone by the time Matt. So, like, I'm not here to say Matt Hennessy's a Pro Bowl player. I'm not here to say sign Matt Hennessy to a multi-year extension. I am here to say this offensive line pass protection run game was substantially better when 61 was in and not 64. I'm very sorry that Jake Brendel's injured. I'm very sorry. And I've got 50 plus messages all about Jake Brendel because I understand. I've been very critical of him, but I'm a tape guy. And I'm going to allow the tape to say this or that. I haven't gone through coaches' tape. Now, I watch every single play three times whenever I'm at home. I have my three TVs, and I spread them out by 8 seconds. So I watch a play, then I watch a play, then I watch a play. So I get a pretty good idea, but it's broadcast view, which is dog trash. Obviously, if you joined us, the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, we go over every single play, offense, defense, special teams, all 22 snap and end zone snap, every play the last 4.5 years. Those are going to start loading tomorrow morning. And I'm going to watch 61 every damn play. The 49ers are better with him. Now, that could change. The 49ers were better with him this game versus the Falcons. But the fact that this has been sitting on the shelf and you never even thought about going to it because Jake Brendel has blackmail on the coaching staff. It is Brock Purdy's best friend. It got Toyotas out the wazoo, whatever. That's an issue. That is an indictment on Chris Forster. That is an indictment on Chris Forster. That is an indictment on your 49ers offensive line coach. Indictment. Major. Interior offensive line has been the biggest problem of the 49ers this entire damn season. You get a switch, not an issue anymore. One quarterback hit afterwards. Run game going through the roof. Golly, man. You average 4.5 yards per carry, 174 yards rushing, two rushing touchdowns. One of those rushing touchdowns was because of your three interior offensive linemen. Biggest issue on your team now is a strength. Why? 61 is why. 61 is why. Thank you, Colin. Thank you. RV says, wow. Hey, Kyle, that's how a center is supposed to play. Can Brendel go on IR, start Hennessy? Brendel will go on IR. Hennessy will get the month to hopefully earn his role. Now, the one thing I could say is Kyle and Chris Forster have allowed guys that can prove it to keep their job. Dominique Poon over Spencer Brendel, Burford. There we go. And Spencer Burford, whenever he took the job years and years ago, like whenever you prove it, you're going to get that chance. The fact that they ruled out Jake Brendel that fast, I just do not see him flying to Houston next week and getting that start. I just don't see it. And so, yeah, RV, I mean, it's incredible what we just saw. It is absolutely incredible what we just saw. Unbelievable. Now, we talk all the freaking time about the Rush road trip and everything we got going on. We are now 1 week away from the biggest event we have ever thrown. Ever, ever, ever. If you're going to Houston to see the 5-2 49ers, you got to come party with us. Join us in Houston for probably one of our biggest parties we have ever hosted. We are going to be on the 25th of October at the Social Beer Garden HTX with Frank Gore, Wayne Breezy, Travis King, Eye of the Niner. Going to be one of the biggest parties we've ever hosted, likely to sell out. Please don't wait to get tickets. Then the day of the 49ers Texans game, we rented out a 3-story parking garage so that we can control everything. We do have parking available for an additional fee, which you can get on the app. And we open an hour before all of the other lots. So you can get there early, you can stay late. And if you want to, you're not going to be buying tickets and you want to enjoy the game, we'll have TVs up there so that you can stay and party during the game if you want to do that. If you want to go in like I'm going to, that's available for you as well. So do not wait. Go get your tickets at 49ersRushRoadTrip.com or get them on the TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush or follow the link in the description of this video podcast. Come party with us. It is going to be legendary. All right, look at this. Kimbro, thanks for the super chat. He says, how big is Kittle in the run game? George Kittle was awesome. No catches on two targets. But I'm telling you right now, George Kittle cares way less about receptions than he does about running the game. If you could tell George Kittle, hey, you could have five catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, and we rush like we've rushed the ball, the 49ers have rushed the ball the first 6 weeks of the year, or you can have zero catches, but we run the ball 39 times for 174 yards and two touchdowns. George Kittle would 1,000% say, run the ball 39 times for 174 yards and two touchdowns. Like, that is the spirit of 85. And what a difference he made just coming back. It changed everything. And it wasn't just Kittle. Kittle teamed up. This is one of my players of the game. I have five players of the game. I've already talked about Tatum Bethune. Colton McKivitz wasn't a perfect game, but in the run game, that dude was moving people to his will. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. The film, the run blocking grade on Colton McKivitz, unbelievable. Now, he got beat around the edge, caused a strict sack, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, okay, that's fair. Like, nuanced take, positive, negative. But the fact that Colton McKivitz is turning into one of the best tackle run blockers in the NFL, and that has been consistent this year. The reason why you haven't been able to run the ball is the interior offensive linemen, the tight ends, and the wide receivers. That's why you haven't been able to run the ball. Colton McKivitz was out there killing it, man. I'm telling you right now, like, might be the best run blocking performance of any 49ers lineman this year, including Trent. And Trent was out there dealing it to guys as well. So, yeah, Kittle being back, huge, huge. But player of the game, I've got Tatum Bethune in no particular order. I've already talked about Tatum Bethune. Colton McKivitz. My next one nobody's talked about yet. Sam Okwuonu. Three third downs. Drew two holding penalties. Got a tackle for loss. I want to read his stat line. It's probably not going to be the sexiest stat line. He had three total tackles. One sack, one tackle for loss, another quarterback hit, and drew two holding penalties. Like, and so, like, I didn't know if I put Sam on my next man up awards or, but like, this dude showed up in the biggest parts of the biggest game, especially early. Like, three drives were ended because of Sam Okwuonu. Who? Like, y'all listen to the show. Y'all know I've been talking about Sam O for a while, but like, that dude is starting for Nicholas John Bosa. Nobody's going to confuse him with them, but he had so many pressures too. Like, you are getting substantial quality defensive line play from Sam O. Sam O. That's crazy. Consistent. And it's not even like this dude is playing so well. It's crazy. I think he's playing on par, if not better, than Mikael Williams. That's not an indictment on Mikael Williams. I'm saying Mikael Williams is so damn good against the run. So is Sam O. But Sam O's actually better against the pass right now than he is. Like, you have developed. This was a undrafted free agent transplant. You didn't even sign him. You took him after, I think it was the Titans, had him as an undrafted free agent, Rand Carthon. And then they discarded him. We took him, developed him on the practice squad, turned him into a starter. And now he is playing quality snaps as a starting defensive end and continues just three drives. This dude put on ice on third down. Three. Two penalties, a sack, a tackle for, like, you're just getting good play. Like, now, should he be mentioned with these other guys? Maybe not, but God bless, man. Sam O is doing the damn work. He's doing the work. Tommy, he's back again. Mac Jones is him, John. Mac Jones, not the best stat line. And the 49ers changed their game, not changed their game plan. Kyle was asked about this earlier in the week. Like, you're winning in different ways. You're winning throwing the ball. You're not winning running the ball like you're used to. And Kyle said, well, like, that's we go into every game thinking we're going to run the ball, but whenever we can't, then we have to change it. Mac Jones went 17 of 26. That's not great. But you look at the DeMarcus Robinson drop. You look at the Juwan Jennings getting scared to go over the middle and trying to protect himself, dropped to interception. He had a couple other, like, whatever. Like, but 17 to 26 isn't special, but you shifted. The Niners haven't been able to establish the run all year. They finally did, and so they said, hey, we're sticking with it. Thank God. No touchdown passes, not beautiful. One interception, not his fault. One sack for 2 yards. That's crazy. The 49ers got sacked one time. 64.9 rating. Like, Michael Penix had a better passer rating, but nobody would take Michael Penix what he did over Mac Jones. This is a problem with passer rating, right? Yeah, Mac Jones was awesome. Really was. And you kind of see the disconnect, right, between Mac Jones, who hasn't practiced with George Kittle very much. But that dude checks down like nobody's business, gets the ball out quick. Mac Jones had a good game, very good game. Replacing the blitzer with the ball, which we talked about all week. You saw that. Mac Jones is awesome. Now, and I'll say this, Mac Jones is him. The 49ers have the best backup quarterback in the NFL. The 49ers have the best backup quarterback. I think they're 4-1, right, with Mac Jones starting. Yeah, I think 4-1. Still Brock Purdy's team, and it should be Brock Purdy's team. The only way Mac Jones can win this team is if he keeps doing what he does, still not enough. Brock Purdy has to come back, be healthy, and not play to this standard. Then Mac Jones has to come back and play to that standard again. Then it's his job. But that ain't going to happen. It's Brock Purdy's team. It's Brock Purdy's team. It's Brock Purdy's team. Trey, my man. Love you, bro. How are we doing this? Duct tape and just next man up. Like, it doesn't matter. Here's my next man up awards. Darrell Luter Jr., Chase Lucas, Matt Hennessy, Malik Turner. A lot of people were upset that Jordan Watkins was still a scratch and inactive. Been practicing for 3 weeks. Finally going to be time. They scratched him whenever he didn't have healthy wide receivers for Malik Turner. Malik Turner, number 81. He's wore like five different numbers for the 49ers because he's always being elevated. That dude goes out there, makes not one, not two, three elite special teams play, and one of them would have been a touchdown, would have been a kickoff return for a touchdown if not for Malik Turner. All three phases, this dude out there killing it. I don't know how many other shows or channels are to be talking about Malik Turner, but I'm telling you, it mattered. It mattered. It changed the way things go. So, all season, I've told you, there are three key things that the 49ers are betting on this season. One, blue chip players. Oh, they're all gone. Christian McCaffrey's still doing his thing. Trent Williams still doing his thing. George Kittle, you know, he's been gone for the majority of the thing. But, like, you look at your blue chip, you had, like, these five blue chip players. Well, Fred's gone, all right? Bosa's gone. Your quarterback's gone. You got to struggle with the blue chip department. But Christian McCaffrey, we'll talk about him. I can't believe we haven't got a Christian McCaffrey yet. We're going to spend a whole segment on Christian McCaffrey. But the blue chip players, your coaching, Robert Saleh is incredible. Get used to the Robert Saleh head coaching, whatever. Now, the good news is, I don't think Robert Saleh is going anywhere this year. Because I think Robert Saleh learned, don't take a head coaching job at a bad place. I think, you know, you're going to have, like, you know, the Dolphins and the Tennessee Titans and, you know, a couple other whatever. He ain't going there. I think the only way that you lose Robert Saleh is if a great coaching opportunity with a quality owner and a quality quarterback open, that's the only way you'll lose them. Those don't happen very often. The only way those happen is after retirements or whatever else, you know, like things like that. So I do not think we'll lose Robert Saleh, but just get used to his name's going to be at the top of the ring for every head coaching vacancy. We just got to sweat it out. So coaching, Kyle Shanahan, dude out there freaking cooking with what? Kendrick Bourne, who was released? Jake Tonjes? Like, CMC, sure. But Matt Hennessy, like, dude, coaching is huge. And then the schedule, those are the three things. Blue chip players, coaching, schedule. Schedule is awesome. The 49ers schedule is awesome. You do not play another elite quarterback besides Matt Stafford, who you already beat. He had a hell of a game. But, like, you're not playing any other elite quarterback. Daniel Jones, you want to throw him in there? Okay, cool. I'm telling you right now, like, this schedule, you get five more wins here in the playoffs because of the tiebreakers. Here's the schedule. I'll run through it quick. Texans, winnable. Giants, winnable. Rams, already beat them. Panthers, winnable. Browns, winnable. Titans, winnable. Colts, that's the toughest game on the schedule. Bears, winnable. Seahawks, tough game. Like, you have four tough games. You got Seahawks, and if the NFL has taught us anything in 2025, it's that any win is a quality win. Some of the most crazy parody ever. Daniel Jones going to be MVP? Like, it might be my vote right now. Like, it's weird. Any win is a good win. The 49ers are 5-2. And then you look at the schedule and it's like, yeah, okay, any given Sunday, I get it. You can lose all of these games. But because you're 5-2 and have put yourself in such a position that, man, it's not, you could have bad breaks and still get five wins with ease. Like 10-7 is the floor for this 49ers team. What's going to happen? We're going to lose more linemen. We're going to lose more defense guys. Like, go ahead. What the hell else you going to do to me? You know what I mean? Like, at some point you just laugh. You just laugh. It's like, let's go. Why not? Renardo Green out after the first series. All right. 28. Terrell Luter. Go get him. Center out. You had Nick Sakel in there and Matt Hennessy. Like, all right, let's roll. It's just what it is. This team has adopted and changed its identity to be able to win multiple ways, to be able to grind out, we're going to outlast you games, to we can run the ball, we can lead the NFL in passing. You have now turned yourself into somewhat of a chameleon. How do you game plan for the 49ers? What quarterback starting? What center starting? Who's the linebacker? Who are the corners? Pass heavy? Run heavy? Yeah. Like, George Kittle got zero catches and they did that? You see what I'm saying? Like, the 49ers are creating a little bit of a monster. It's like a Power Rangers where they all get together. And, like, you can pick. You want to throw the ball 40 times? Cool. We've won lots of games doing that. You want to let us run the ball? Well, we've got 8 years of precedence where we could do that in the playoffs and do whatever the hell we want. Defensively, all right, this is probably the best defensive performance the 49ers have had this year. It was the fewest points. But, man, you shut down a top five offense, period. Period. With, I don't want to say scrubs. I don't want to say scraps because these are NFL players. But with solid coaching, fundamentals, and just letting people tee off. Ah, oh, Colin, my man, I appreciate it. Thank you for the super chat. He says, sign up. Watching tape with John is awesome. Thank you so much. Our whole idea, so for those of you, perhaps it's your first time, I'm a former football coach. I coached down in Texas, in Duncanville, Texas, for a long time and gave up that to pursue the family thing. Wife and I became a foster adoptive parents. I couldn't spend the night in the office breaking down film anymore. I started this podcast. This is episode number 1537. Kind of took off. Now it's my full-time job. Very, very thankful. And so what I did is I wanted to watch the film like I did with my team the day after a game, where I put the team up, the film up, we go through the coach's tape, and we just learn. That was the idea. We started that 5 years ago. YouTube blocked us. Everything blocked us. We had to create our own platform because we wanted to put that out there, and people wanted that. So that's where we built the 49ersrush.com. We also put it up on our Patreon, which are the same thing. Just we keep 100% of the 49ersrush.com because we built our own site. So sign up over there. That's how I feed my family. That's how I pay our bills. That's how I do everything. And we go through every single play. And I walk you through. This is why this works. You see this scheme? You see the backside A gap? You see the run blitz? We're in cover three here. This is under. And I just walk you through and help you understand. That's the goal. Now, I understand not everybody has time for that. So if you just want to support the channel because you like what we do and you want us to continue doing it, sign up there. We got a 7-day free trial. If you really want to dive into the tape, that's there as well. And if you want to bet with us, which I don't think that we had I think this was our worst betting day because we were betting on the 49ers being pass happy. They were not. And so we didn't hit a lot of our metrics, plus the drop passes set us back as well. But man, we have made a lot of money this season. And I hope to continue to do so. And we post our bets on there as well. So if you want to bet all those things, we post our bets every single Saturday. And we show you how much, what category, all those things, all on MyBookie right here. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, I want to talk about, I got two more players of the game that I really, really want to dive into. Bryce Huff. You got him for pennies on the dollar. Now, you gave up, I think it was a fifth rounder that could be a fourth, and it's going to be a fourth. Whatever the escalators were, he's hitting by far. This dude goes out there, and the stat line's not like super sexy. Five tackles, one sack, one tackle for loss, two quarterback hits, forced fumble. Good gosh. And we know, like, and again, we broke down the film and we tried to show you what Bryce Huff does. Like, everybody calls Bryce Huff a speed guy. He's got a good get off. He's not fast. What makes Bryce Huff elite, I told you this all offseason, he has some of the best bend that you'll ever see, where he just gets flat and he just flattens that anchor as he's being blocked by the offensive tackle out, flattens that curve at quarterback depth, and he gets there. He did that just on repeat. And, you know, a lot of times we talk trade deadline, and I'm going to talk a lot about that tomorrow. But I want today to focus on this win. But now you have opened up this idea. Dude, you got to the quarterback consistently. There were a lot of pressures. Michael Penix was not happy. He had people at his feet, hit him in the ribs, all around him, bull rush. And what Bryce Huff was doing, he changed the game. He was the most impactful defensive player for either team. Bryce Huff, who you got for pennies, was the most impactful defensive player of either team out there. Wasn't even close. And what's crazy to me is Bryce Huff was supposed to be a situational pass rusher only. Well, Nick Bosa goes down. You can't do that anymore. So you had to turn Bryce Huff into an every down player, and he's a positive in the run game, getting tackled for losses, playing A-plus gap control, outside leverage, like doing his damn job. So, like, you're asking this dude to play above his pay grade, and he is. This dude's going to get paid again, and I hope the Niners keep him. I think they have him for 2 years on a contract. But Bryce Huff was the best defensive player for either person out there. Now, the best player for either team, this is not even freaking close. Christian McCaffrey. 24 carries, 129 rush yards, 5.4 yards per carry, two rush touchdowns. Long 15 yards. We still do not have a 20-yard rush play this season, but that's okay. If you're going to do this, I don't mind. Then you go to the pass game, 7 catches, 72 yards, average 10.3 yards per catch. Gosh, on 8 targets. Like, so freaking consistent. Pass blocking, he's doing that. Like, Christian McCaffrey was the best player on the field, bar none. Bar none. Wasn't even close. And, like, I was at home with the family watching it, and you see, like, the SNF doing the Bijan and, you know, Christian McCaffrey, and they work together, and Bijan's the new best and whatever else, and it's running back day or whatever. Like, man, no. any question that you have on who the best running back in the NFL is, answered. Now, it's not like Bijan was bad. He had 14 carries for 40 yards, 2.9 yards per carry, not good. But he had 6 catches for 52 yards and a touchdown. That's good. But Christian McCaffrey had more catches. He had more receiving yards. He had more rushes. He had more rush yards. He had more rush touchdowns. Like, and I understand they're not on the field at the same time, but they even interviewed Bijan asking him, what's it like playing out there? He's like, oh, I'm excited to go out there and play out there, whatever else. Like, good gosh, man. Dancing. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey is the comeback player of the year lock if he keeps this up and stays healthy. He's on some incredible records, and we'll update those numbers tomorrow. But he's on pace for another 1,000 and 1,000 year, which he's a borderline Hall of Famer right now. You know, we do these assessments for the Hall of Fame every offseason. Dude, he's Pro Bowl established, All Pro. He's fighting for it. Jonathan Taylor, Bijan, Christian McCaffrey, James Cook. Like, those are the four. There's four. Those are the four. Christian McCaffrey, what he's doing. Like, you just did this on primetime against your competition, and everybody walked away going, all right, Christian McCaffrey, different. Like, you're talking All Pro. He's in competition for Offensive Player of the Year, all those things. He gets one of those, Hall of Famer. Like, he's so close. He is so close. He gets the Super Bowl, it's locked. Yeah, he gets the Super Bowl, it's locked. And I think I want to give credit to Josh Dubow, AP. He works for the Associated Press. Christian McCaffrey tied Roger Craig today with 7 straight 100 total yard games to start the season. That's of the NFL. That's not, you know, whatever. Like, Roger Craig, Adam Thielen was the last one to do it in 2018. But now he's past Adam Thielen, and he's tied with Roger Craig. If he gets another one, then yeah, he passes those guys. Like, it is incredible. And shout out to Matthew RTP FTW, Roger Craig, Marshall Faulk territory. I think, and might be a little blasphemous, you know, obviously Roger Craig was the first 1K guy ever. Marshall Faulk did it. Now Christian McCaffrey's done it twice. Dude, I think Christian's getting close to being in just the Marshall Faulk territory. Like, LT, Marshall Faulk, like, he's in that two-way go. I think he's already surpassed Roger Craig. Now, I know he doesn't have the Super Bowls, but it, as far as tiered running backs go, and this is so important for Hall of Fame, can you talk about the NFL and the running back position of the last decade without bringing up Christian McCaffrey? You cannot. You cannot. It is Derrick Henry. It is Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if anybody else fits in that conversation at all. I really don't. I do not. Like, he's getting there. He is getting there. Christian McCaffrey is the best player on the 49ers. It's crazy, man. It is absolutely crazy what they have accomplished. AJ, thank you for the super chat, my man. Texas Takeover, time with Milli Vanilli in the building. That's right. AJ calls me and Wayne Milli Vanilli. Yeah, we're going to be having such a good national tight end day. If you think, one, Brock Purdy might start next week. Two, if you think George Kittle's going to go catchless next week, he's not. And for all you fantasy people out there, you're Niner fans, go trade for George Kittle right now in your fantasy league. The owner is upset because they got nothing. Go trade for him. As soon as this is over, I'm going to trade. But see, my whole league listens to the show, so it's not going to work. Go trade for George Kittle in fantasy. Trust me, trust me, trust me. That's right. Bang, bang. It is going to be awesome. So again, guys, come party with us next week in Houston. Me, Wayne, Travis King, Eye of the Niner, Frank Gore. We've rented out a 3-story parking garage, for Christ's sakes. And man, we're going to have LED wall TVs. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. Oh, I hope you guys come out with us. And if you can't come out next week, we are going to be in New York the following week out in Jersey at the Ainsworth from 4 to 8 p.m. Saturday on the 1st. And we'll be tailgating over in Lot J, which is going to be freaking awesome. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. So if you can't come join us next week in Houston, we're going to be flying straight to Jersey after that. Slavic, thank you for the super chat. Purdy is coming back against the Texans. I agree. Are you ready for the preview of the Super Bowl caliber 49ers? Dude, it's so many times. I'm not saying you're doing this, Slavik. Thank you so much for your generosity and comment. The question I get the most is, man, do you think the Super Bowl window's closed? Do you think, like, is the window closed? Like, I don't. Coaches, players, myself included, I fit the coach mindset. That's how I'm calibrated. They don't think that way. Nobody thinks that way. Like, it's not a thing. It's make it to the playoffs. Okay, check one. Win your division, check two. Now it's build a play. Like, how do you win in the playoffs? You run the ball. You play good defense. You have good quarterback play. 49ers have Brock Purdy, who's got one of the best playoff records in the NFL, by the way. NFL history already, by the way. Like, unbelievable what that dude's done. Mac Jones is the best backup quarterback in the NFL. We're to the point now where if a quarterback goes down, it's like, oh, just put in the other guy. That's awesome. You can run the ball. You show today. Can that carry over? We'll see. Niners play good defense, period. Now, without Bosa, without Fred, I get it. You're going to have some lapses and whatever else. But you get the playoffs, some crazy things happen. So I'm not here to say, like, oh, this is a Super Bowl caliber team. I don't really buy into that, but you damn sure are a playoff team. Playoffs happen right now. I think you're the 2 seed. I'm Ron Burgundy. no, we're the 3 seed because the Green Bay Packers have one less. They're 4-1-1. We're 5-2. So we'd be the 3 seed. So we would be hosting. We would be hosting the last. Yeah, because 2-7-3-6. We'd be hosting the Seattle Seahawks at home in the playoffs. Well, guess what? We play them at home the week before. That might be a back-to-back matchup. You can win that game. You can win that game. You can win that game. Then you got the Bucks. Like, they're the 1 seed. You could beat the Bucks. You almost beat the Bucks on the road with a bunch of craziness and you shoot Juwan Jennings and a lot of whatever. Like, yes. There is not a team in the NFL that the 49ers would cower down to, be like, oh, we can't compete with these guys. That's bullshit. The 49ers can play with anybody in the NFL. Now, are there some matchups better than others? The NFL is a metric league. Yes. But Bucks, come on, man. Let's go. I want that rematch. Packers, the NFL is weird as hell this year. Weird as hell. The 49ers are the only team that's proven you can lose everybody and still win. What happens if we start getting some back? What happens if they start getting some players back? Jack, my man, how are you, my friend? Appreciate the post that you've been doing lately. You are the freaking man. Thank you for the super chat. Says Robert Saleh only gave up 62 rushing yards to Bijan Robinson with a bunch of homeless cats he found in the dumpster behind Levi's. Yep. Yup. What you are doing, what the 49ers are accomplishing with Tatum Bethune, Curtis Robinson out there taking snaps, Luke Gifford, Darrell Luter Jr. Yeah, Jason Pinnock freaking shadowing Drake London. You got Sam, nobody can say his last name. Not trying to be disrespectful, but like, come on. Like, it's unreal what is happening before our eyes. Like, he did it, but it's not the first time he did it in 2020. He did it in 2020. Coaching matters. Coaching matters. Thank you, Jack. David, Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave with a box of scraps. There we go. Channeling my inner dude, even though he was a little too high strung in that episode or that character. Thank you, David. Yes, that is exactly what it looks like. Stefan, thanks for the super chat. Your all 22 will be less entertaining without Jake Brindle. Watch on every play. At least we still have 31 on special teams. Hey, even Isaac Grindo, he missed a tackle on the very first play, but they came back and tackled him again. Like, Grindo made a positive play on special teams. It was awesome. But yeah, if you are new to watching tape, the cuss words, the four-letter words would come out on Brindle watch. And a lot of it, again, I'm a coach. I don't like lazy. I don't like quitting. I need effort. I need energy. Like, that's a big deal. So whenever somebody's lacking, and then you get Matt Hennessy going out there, pushing the damn pile for a touchdown, not watching his teammates, but playing and engaging with them. Oh, Matt Hennessy. Dude, I gotta like contact somebody and get like a Matt Hennessy jersey. So I can start repping that. I want to start wearing a Matt Hennessy jersey. But as soon as I get it, freaking Chris Forster's going to put 64 back in, I know. And I hope that Chris, I hope that Jake Brendel gets healthy. But in no way in hell you give him back his job. We got to see. What you just saw from Matt Hennessy was better than anything we've seen from Jake Brendel. Week two, Jake Brendel was good. But, man, one quarterback hit after the switch. One. Three quarterback hits in the first quarter. Jake Brendel goes out. One quarterback hit in three quarters. Run game went through the roof. Literally pushed Christian McCaffrey in the end zone. Oh, Stefan trying to get me riled up, baby. I love it. Trey, thank you, man. Dude, is Bryce Huff sick or what? Dude is a dog. Dude is a dog. Oh, unbelievable. Kid Strixta, thank you for the super chat. Rich Madrid is fuming that Brendel is hurt. I love Rich, and I know he doesn't watch this show, but you can tag him. Rich is awesome. Like, he has helped me in many ways. This dude is like so unselfish and helpful to 49ers content creators. I think he's a great dude. He's awesome. We completely disagree on Jake Brendel. And Rich, once he fixes his ideas, and maybe I'm the same way, we're just counterpoints on this issue. Rich loves Jake Brendel. He loves that dude. And anytime I ever post anything about Jake Brendel, he jumps in the mentions and tells me how dumb I am. And I am dumb. I don't think I'm dumb on this one. And like, again, I love Rich. I really, really do. We do disagree on that issue, though. And I'm sure he's going to come for me anytime I post. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what his thoughts are, because he's a tape guy, and that dude knows football. I think he knows more about scheme than I do, if I'm going to be honest with you. I love Rich. You will never get an anti-Rich take from me, but I do laugh because I know if I post anything. And so I started posting clips on Jake Brendel without any context. I just put a clip of Brendel up and say 64 center. Like, I don't even say it's a bad player or whatever else, and he still jump in there and tell me I'm wrong, and I don't even say anything. But, yeah, we all do that. I'm guilty. There are certain players that rub me the wrong way, and I'm just, yeah, it's hard to get over that. But I want to get to the point where I can go against that, you know what I mean? And new information, new results, new views. I'll tell you I'm wrong all the time. I got to get better at that, though, because with some players, they just irk me too much the wrong way. Sonia, thank you for the super chat. Juwan Jennings, what's going on? I'm scrolling to my Juwan Jennings section. First thing I put is sucks so bad. exclamation. Juwan Jennings sucks, man. This year, Juwan Jennings is a net negative every single game. Juwan Jennings has not been good at all at any point in this season. Juwan Jennings has a 40% catch rate. That means 10 targets, he's catching 4. It is the lowest for any 49ers player. It took points off the board because he alligator armed it because he was scared. Like, how crazy. Like, Juwan Jennings was scared going over the middle. Scared. Like, Juwan Jennings is the most fearless creature known to the NFL that has been kicked out of games for being so physically imposing. Now we have Juwan Jennings short arming it, scared over the middle. I know he has hurt ribs. I understand that. Don't care. I understand it. That doesn't allow that. Was it a perfect pass? No. Did it go off both palms of his hands? Yes, it did. Did he shriek away from contact? He did. Don't care. Don't care. Like, no. Now, I will say the very next play in the next possession, because he caused the interception by himself, he goes out there and blocks the defensive end for a huge run. But huge, we were a third or a second and short, and he missed a block late in the game that forced in the fourth quarter. That was a huge stack for, like, Juwan Jennings not good. Now, DeMarcus Robinson's not playing well enough to be elevated over him. Dude, back-to-back drops. We would have got paid on two bets. Two drops. One of them, he was out of bounds to drag his feet, but if we would have caught one of them, we would have got paid on both of them. But yeah, Juwan Jennings not good. And when Ricky Pearsall's back, it's Ricky Pearsall and Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne was consistent. Blocking still sucks. Like, Kendrick, and I tried to tell people this, like, yeah, somebody who's broke down every single play, whatever. Kendrick Bourne has never been a good run blocker. He never has been. that's not going to change. Kendrick Bourne ain't changing at age 30. But it sucks that Juwan Jennings did change to the worse. Made it all about him. And that has permeated the entire play. And I know Matthew, my good friend on here, RTP, like he will disagree with me. And I know Wayne will disagree with me. And a lot of people will. Juwan Jennings changed. And it's shown on film in the blocking, in the receiving game, the drops, and on the sideline. It changed. He has cost himself so much money. When Ricky Pearsall comes back, I want him to be the number three. He is not a starting wide receiver. He is not. I don't think Kyle will do it. Kyle is a huge players coach, and I think that's positive. It's probably going to be Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall as your number one and number two, and I think that is a mistake. I really do. Now, it might be a little different with Brock Purdy playing because they have chemistry. If Mac Jones is playing, it better stay Kendrick Bourne. But yeah, Juwan Jennings, it's not like I'm out and like whatever else, but like, dude, yeah, not good. Not good. Monkey, Eddie freaking De Niro, Pinero. How good is Eddie P? Like, just makes life awesome. Two field goals, made a 55-yarder, which was so good, set up by Connor Colby, and a 43-yarder. And banked an extra point off the upright, which, like, it's funny because it's like the shooter streak, you know, fallacy. When you feel like everything is just going according to plan, you can do things like bank it off the upright, which he's done twice, and be like, ha ha, I can even make bank shots. But then you go back and our previous kicker, who shall not be mentioned here, if he banked one off in the same way, would be like, dude, can't even make an extra point. Dude's got to hit that, right? And so it's a matter of perception and confidence. Confidence and momentum is a very real thing that cannot be measured, but it can be observed. And whenever you watch Eddie P out there and the fans, I've been there. When Eddie P walks out there to kick a field goal, oh, it's just, I feel like Waterboy when the ball's in the air and they're making the catch and that crazy dude's like, whatever. Like, it is just, it's a feeling of calm, zen. It just, oh yeah, oh yeah, watch this. That's what it is. Whereas the previous kicker would go out there and everybody would just go, man, no. Oh, and you feel it on the sideline. I felt it as a coach. I felt it as a player. I felt it as a fan, content creator, whatever. I felt it. It's real. It's real. And when Eddie freaking De Niro Pinero, thank you, Monkey, goes out there, oh, it's unbelievable. I love that man. I love that man. I love that man. James, thanks for the super chat. That's how you finish a damn game. So happy with the efforts by everybody tonight, from coaches to the players. All around great effort. Feels good. Yes. Like, losing, 49ers are going to lose more games. They're not going undefeated. This feeling that you have right now is awesome. It's victory, right? Tomorrow's Victory Monday. Everything's going to be better. This beer, it's not as cold as it once was. It tastes wonderful. It's really good. but, like, you win the right way without a bunch of penalties, which there were penalties, and without like major missed tackles and huge errors, which there were missed tackles. There were errors. But in the fourth quarter, you went down there and you handled your damn business and you imposed with effort, with identity, exactly what you wanted to do. They could not run the ball. They could not pass protect. The Falcons couldn't do crap. Couldn't do anything. Niners could do whatever the hell they wanted. Like, it was just nice to impose your will on somebody else and just be like, we're good. At home, too, in front of the home crowd, which the Niners usually don't play as well as home. But they sure as hell did there. I'm with you completely, James. Thank you, brother. Greg, thanks for the super chat. Just joined the live, but can we talk about Mac Jones' push at the end of the game? Low-key got me fired up to have him as our dude is a fighter. That dude is Jeff Garcia approved, right? Just scrappy. Well, Brock's scrappy too, but like you got a little bit of that, like, I don't know. You want to call it moxie or whatever. Like, and this is coming from the most anti-McCorkle Jones guy ever from 2022 to even when we signed him. But dudes won me over, right? I talked earlier, like, I got to be able to change the way I see things with new information. Dude's a hellacious teammate. And it's been pretty cool seeing him at the podium and interact and just, you know, the suits and how he interacts with fans and jumping up there with the boom box and doing his thing and picking himself off the dirt despite all the injuries. What's not to root for? I was a hater. I was. I'm not anymore. I will be cheering for Mac Jones for the rest of his career, period. And I cheer for almost all Niners every time that they move on. But you got Mac Jones for 2 years. He's the best backup quarterback in the NFL. He's the best backup quarterback in the NFL. He might be a top 15 quarterback. Still stay with Brock Purdy. I'm still Brock Purdy. But yeah, Greg, I'm with you, bro. I am with you. Kimbro, appreciate the super chat. John, can we do a live chat during one of the home games? I was around when you were doing the call the games that never happened because of the lame NFL. Yeah, I will say this year, this is the last year my youngest son will be home. He's graduating this year. So I'm trying to make as conscious an effort as possible to stay home, literally home, physically home, during the home games, to be with the family. We're doing every single road game, so you know, it's a lot, and I've got back-to-back road trips in Houston and then New York. But I'm trying to stay home and just be, like, home dad a little bit, which I'm not great at. I'm very bad at that. I'm a workaholic. But maybe next year we could set something up to where, yeah, we do something like that. I used to live broadcast until I got the cease and desist letter from the NFL. We were doing so good. I loved it, man. I was like, oh, this is I want to do this for the rest of my life. But NFL had other plans. Yeah, if I just kept all of the negatives that the 49ers and the NFL have sent me, I don't know what I'd do to upset them, but they really don't like me. That's okay. I love them. I love them. It's a love-hate relationship, but that's what it is. So, yeah, I don't know. I know Wayne Breezy, and I always want to shout out Wayne. He does the live things during the game, so go check him out on his Patreon, the Wayne Breezy on Patreon. I know he does those. And maybe in the future I could set something up to where we can do that. Yeah, I think that would be fun because I miss it. And maybe not so much of a play call and, you know, go through like the whole third and five. You got a 3-by-1 set on the left hash. Looks like quarters coverage off the not that, but just hang out and talk and have fun. But it'd be a lot of cuss words. But yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Alex. I think it's Alex Kimbrough. Thank you. Now, I got a couple more that I want to get to, but I've got to take a quick break very quick. So right after this, we got more super chats, more positives, and a couple of negatives. But if you go to any 49ers game this year, you know you got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersrushroadtrip.com.
All right. I just saw online Christian McCaffrey has 100 rushing yards and 70 receiving yards for the seventh time in his career today. This breaks a tie with Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk and Priest Holmes for the most such games in NFL history. These are the things that CMC has to get to in order to get that kind of, you know, Hall of Fame status, which I think he's so close to. If he stays on this, oh, he's going to be there. Oh, he's going to be there. He's going to be there. Oh, I can't wait, man. I freaking love the success that these players that give everything. And Christian McCaffrey gives everything. Everything. How many touches did he have today? Total. So he had 24 carries and 7 and 8 targets. So each one of the targets counts. So that's 32 touches. This dude is on pace to break the all-time record for touches. But But the caveat is this. Brian Robinson had 9 carries for 36 yards. That's 4 yards per carry. Did he get a pass? He didn't get a pass. But they made a conscious effort to get Brian Robinson involved in the run game. He didn't have any carries last game. And I thought that that was huge. I really, really did. Shane, look at this. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. Trying to have my Pinero jersey by Houston. Absolutely love this guy. Support the Road Rush. Shane, thank you so much. You are one of one, my friend. Really do appreciate you and just all that you do. Thank you, man. Phil, appreciate you, bro. It's sad when your heroes turn to the dark side. I know you're talking about JJ. It sucks. Felt the same way with Ayuk, if I'm going to be honest. Doesn't mean the story's written, right? Doesn't mean it's written. And there is always room. Totally redeem yourself. That is available. But sometimes they don't come back. And you fall in love with, like, dude, I'm a fan. I like to a fault, to a major fault. Like, I wear this hat. It's my favorite hat. It says Faithful on it because I'm a fan of fans, right? Like, I'm a fan of Phil. I know Phil. I know his family. Like, Phil is the freaking man. And I know how much Phil loves Juwan Jennings. I know how much Phil loved Nick Zekiel. Like, right? And I see you guys in the chat. And I see it like, dude, that is a good thing. Like, how much we love Fred Warner and George Kittle and all those things. Sometimes, relationships go bad. I hope, and I know Mark is a good man. Mark is a smart man. He says, JJ will come back. And that, I think that's where I need to improve. Because I am reactionary to a fault. And I am loyal to a fault. But you mess with me one time, and this is a major character flaw. Let's be real for a second. I hold grudges, and I hold those things. Like, if I meet you, there is an opportunity to be my best friend the day we meet. Always. And I've always been that way since I was little. Like, that is, like, unlimited opportunities for besties. Like, I believe in that. I just always have been that way since I was really young. But you screw over and you hurt somebody I care about or something along those lines. Done. D, you win. It's over. And so I need to create space. Maybe we're having a little fan conversation here, right? I need to be able to create space for JJ to win his way back into good graces, instead of thinking it's over. So thank you. I appreciate it. Big Papa, another guy I know, another great guy. Let's get JJ. Let's let JJ get enough games under that he practiced this preseason, which he didn't. Yeah, because he didn't practice, which was his choice. I know everybody's like, well, he was injured. How many games or how many practices did he work out on the side field? 0. Came back to full practice. Never limited practice. Interesting. I think he was limited, but no side field practices with that calf. Just straight to practice. Weird. Anyway, see? I'm doing it again. I just told you I was going to be better. I got work to do. I got work to do. There is no doubt about it. Now, a couple other things that I did want to talk about. I thought that the offensive line played really, really well. McKivitz, best game maybe ever. That one strip sack was a killer. Mac Jones doesn't step up in the pocket very well. I got to see the tape, see if that was there, but still, it's just bad. It was a bad rep. Dominic Pooney, really bad first quarter. Got instantaneously better when the center changed. Things that make you go, Connor Colby was the best interior offensive lineman last week. Dude, continued. Not ideal, but still good. Trent is awesome. I thought the safeties were weird. And probably one of my biggest negatives was Malik Mustafa's on a pitch count. That's obvious. Didn't take one snap in the first quarter. You go out there with Jair Brown, Marquise Siegel. I thought Siegel had a really, really good game. And I thought Jair Brown had a not bad game. The problem was Jair Brown's just so late. And they want him to be that free safety, but sometimes with the motion. So, like, if you're in a 3-by-1 set, meaning you have 3 eligibles to one side and one wide receiver or eligible to the other side. You could do a single high safety look, right? So you bring Malik Mustafa or Marquise Siegel down into the box, and you can have a free safety. But whenever they motion from a 3-by-1 to a 2-by-2, so one of those guys does the jet sweep across, you have to go back down to a split safety because you have to have three defenders against two eligible wide receivers. Those are basic NFL rules, unless you blitz or doing cover one. Niners don't do that a lot, but whatever. You can't always have the luxury of Jair Brown being your single high safety. That's what the Niners want, but you can't do that. And so in the second quarter, when they got the field goal, maybe it was the touchdown in the third quarter, all they did was they motioned to force Jair Brown down to a split safety look, couldn't be a free safety, single high, and they just ran perimeter runs and screens to 27 side. If he was on the right defensive side, they went there. If he was on the left, like literally, this dude won't fill the alley. And so what the alley is, your outside corner fits outside and has to turn the run and or screen inside. Your defensive end and your linebackers pursued inside out. Your safety has to come fill in the middle. That's why it's called the alley. Your corner buttress is outside. That's outside contained. Your linebackers pursue inside out. It creates a natural alleyway. That safety has to come plug the alley. You see Malik Mustafa, number 6, and Marquise Siegel, number 36. Like, don't blink. They're coming full speed to come kill somebody. Jair Brown will sit there and flat foot read that and just hop. I'm coming. And it's just late. And by that, the lanes are all disproportionate and whatever. Like, he didn't have missed tackles. I don't think he had a bad game. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying when 27 is out there, it does not fit. It does not fit the personality, the style, the attitude of the other 10 players that are on the field. It's really, it's frustrating. And I don't think Jair had a bad game. And I think that there are some games, if you're playing a pass-happy team, I want 27 out there. He's the best coverage safety we got. I think he's better than Malik Mustafa in coverage. I'm going to be really honest. But such a liability in the run game. You have Marquise Siegel, so great in the run game, liability in coverage, right? So you have these non-complete players that you have to kind of go in and out. That was a hard one for me. Tatum Bethune, great. D Winners, man, he just takes so many bad angles. I thought he had a good game, but he keeps peeking in the backfield, creating bad angles. Then he's late. You can't be late on Bijan Robinson. He'll run through you. I think he had a couple missed on him. Jordan Elliott, great pressures early. I think he had back-to-back drives pressures on third down to start the game. I thought that was awesome. Mikael Williams just keeps doing the dirty work. Not going to be sexy, not going to win any awards, but your defense is better with him. Sam O's amazing. I freaking love Sam O. I freaking love Sam O, man. Like, that dude is the epitome of this 49ers team. Yeah, the defense, for sure. He's like, this is the microcosm that represents the 2025 49ers. It's Sam Okwuonu. Nobody can pronounce his name. I'm pretty sure I said it wrong. Nobody knows what college he went to, what countries he's from, any of those things. Sam O is the 2025 49ers. He's badass. Nobody knows about him. But he is everything that you want to freaking believe in, man. I love it. Right here, DJ says, Kevin Givens. Yeah, Kevin Givens getting meaningful snaps. I love that. Nick Martin got a tackle on special teams. It was a good play. That's exactly what he needs. Build that confidence. Gosh, I freaking love this team. The 49ers are 5-2. I'm going to go drink many more cold beverages. And I'm going to chill, and I'm going to smile, and I'm going to sleep well tonight. And I hope you do too. Tomorrow morning, as soon as the film comes up, which it's a late game. Sometimes the Sunday night games, NFL Plus doesn't get the tape out. As soon as the tape's out, I'll be refreshing all morning because I'll go live, but not until after I start my breakdowns. So I want to get some tape in and all those kind of things. So anyway, take that for what you will, but the Niners are 5-2. Just keep finding ways to win. Look like the 2019 49ers out there today, didn't they? Look like the 2019 49ers, dominating performance, running the ball, great defense, pressure of the quarterback. It's freaking awesome. You guys are awesome as well, and I really do appreciate the time you spent with me. You guys means the world to me. We'll be going live all week and getting ready for Houston. If you go to Houston, come say what's up. Until next time, it's going to be easy tonight. Stay strong, faithful.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.